Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. You probably know this already, but Obama has ordered an attack on ISIS in Iraq. First, what is ISIS? I mean, really? Why is Obama turning to the military as an intervention strategy in Iraq when he has repeatedly said it doesn't work? It only works in countries like Libya. You ever wonder about that? And why are we no longer paying attention to what's going on at the border? Oh, wait, that's not a question. That's the answer to the question. Think about it. Think about it. Okay. That should be sufficient warm-up for your brain massage today. Let's roll. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here. Flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Obama goes to war again. It's interesting, isn't it, that this president harps so often about military intervention not being an effective solution to problems except when it comes to, you know, Libya. And now, Iraq. First, however, I must say I do agree with the action he has called for. But I must say, I have no respect at all for the actor calling for the action. Before I begin the work of massaging truth insights into your brain, stimulating the norepinephrine and its cousin dopamine to lock your attention in laser-like focus on truth, releasing a burst of insight radiating the mind, destroying all brain cells infected with the cancers of liberal lies, stimulating the replication of truth cells, swarming the mind and flooding the soul with... releasing that freedom Jesus promised to all who embrace the truth, you know, that the truth shall make you free thing, okay? So, before we go there, I need to help my Christianette friends who recoil whenever I take a shot at our present commander-in-chief, believing that I'm speaking evil of dignities, quote-unquote. And this comes from 2 Peter 2, verse 10 and Jude 8 through 10, where we are warned about those who are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, this word dignities translates dacha, which refers to glory, and that is to holy things. The word translated speak evil is our word blaspheme, from blasphemia in Greek. In other words, this refers to committing the sin of blasphemy, which according to the dictionary refers to speaking irreverently about God or sacred things or holy things, you know, like Bill Maher's et al. The context of this rebuke clearly applies it to those who are brute beasts, whose dreams are filthy and who defile the flesh. All of these statements identify the wicked and the unruly. This refers to those who defile the men, mu epsilon nu, a Greek expression identifying a man or a male, sarche, which refers to flesh. And as Jesus explained, what defiles men are evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye. Blasphemy is in the list. Pride and foolishness, Mark 7, 20-23. The expression about defiling the flesh has application to those who defile themselves with mankind or who are synecoites. That's a homosexual, by the way. 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, which is the reason, you see, we don't accuse John the Baptist of speaking evil of dignities when he publicly charged King Herod with the sin of adultery, exposing his wicked sin publicly of taking his brother's wife. He did it openly. Nor do we charge Elijah with speaking evil of dignities when he met Jehoshaphat and Ahab and said, regarding Ahab, right out loud in front of God and everybody, that were it not for the presence of Jehoshaphat, for whom he had respect, he said, that he would not so much as set his eyes upon the vile King Ahab, who, by the way, complained that Elijah always speaks evil of me. You know, they say ignorance is bliss. I know. So I'm sorry to pop your bliss bubble, but while your ignorance might be blissful to you, it really annoys me, okay? But the real problem is that this attitude is contributing to the destruction of our nation. Most of you who throw these attacks at modern-day prophets, such as moi, you know, who with Holy Ghost boldness speak truth to power, are spiritual cowards hiding behind these convenient lies that you use to excuse you from taking a stand against the evil of your day. But I'll give some more on that in the next segment, perhaps. Let's look at Obama's recent statement regarding his decision to drop bombs on Iraq. I'm going to highlight those portions that stood out to me as amazing in what it reveals about the heart of this frankly, very evil man. Remember the principle, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we can look into the words of Obama and see some reflections of his heart. President-elect Obama begins, quote, "Good evening. Today I authorized two operations in Iraq, targeted airstrikes to protect our American personnel, and a humanitarian effort to help save thousands of Iraqi civilians who are trapped on a mountain without food and water and facing almost certain death. Let me explain the actions we are taking and why," end quote. Now with those words, he opens his statement. And the first thing that jumped out at me was, why now? And why does he refer to this group as ISIL instead of ISIS? ISIS, by the way, being the name of an ancient Near Eastern goddess, Isis, which is another name for Nimrod's mother, the founder of Babel, or Babylon, in modern-day Iraq, which is Semiramis, and used today as the initials for the terrorist organization attempting to take Iraq backwards from their progression toward a freedom-seeking republic to an Islamist terrorist-sponsoring, terrorist-harboring, terrorist-training base called the Islamist State of Iraq and Syria. It's an effort to connect Iraq to Syria, which, as we know, is connected to Iran, a kissing cousin to Russia. This all has roots that go back to some very ancient wars between Iraq and Iran. I mean, dating all the way back into the time of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon, overtaking the entire world at that time, and then its transition to the Persian Empire, which was a connection between Iran and Russia. But it's even more bizarre because ISIS is the successor to the Baghdad Sunnis, who were in the ascendancy in Iraq when the butcher of Baghdad, Saddam Hussein, remember Bush 1's name for him, ruled there. And they marginalized the Shiites during their effort to rebuild Babylon. So the Shiites turned on them when Saddam fell. So now the Sunnis are resurging. So it has kind of come full circle here. And all of this has roots in the soil of that conflict, gaining some momentum from how the Shiites treated the Sunnis when Saddam fell. On and on it goes, right? And we know that ISIS is the successor of Al-Qaeda. Oh yeah, and that essentially it's Al-Qaeda under new management. And that being Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, another Baghdad baddie. As for why does Obama call them ISIL, is this a more correct identification for the group, as some assert? Obama's probably just going along with the UN on this, but ISIL and ISIS are actually different names, even though they are used to identify exactly or precisely the same group, which would be the terrorists trying to overturn the liberties of our soldiers bled in the desert sand there to procure for them. But these terms are different. I've explained ISIS. What about ISIL? Now, ISIL stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. This is taken from the assumption that it more accurately translates the actual Arabic name for the group, which is, are you ready for it? And I'm sure my pronunciation will not be all that it ought to be, but Al-Dawla al-Islamia fi al-Iraq wa al-Sham, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham. And I'll translate that in a minute. It is thought that the expression al-Sham refers to the same region identified in English by the expression the Levant. That region, by the way, includes Jordan, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Cyprus, and a region in Turkey called Hatay, a very extensive expanse covering the territory of a former caliphate, a region ruled by a Muslim civil religious successor to Muhammad. This area is often referred to as Greater Syria. However, the technical Arab term for the Levant is Bilad al-Sham. When the Arabs use only al-Sham, they mean Syria or Damascus. When they mean to refer to the wider region, or what we might call Greater Syria, they say Bilad al-Sham. So technically, the name of this group identifies it as the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS. But the UN and Obama want to identify it as a movement with a much larger vision, a movement that has as its goal to engulf, as I said, Jordan, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Cyprus, and Hatay. So one wonders why they want to use ISIL instead of ISIS. First, it's probably true that the intent, ultimately, of this group is to reestablish a caliphate, a successor to Muhammad, over the entire Arab world, not even stopping at the Levant, but going on to include Saudi Arabia and Egypt. Second, it could be a political move on the part of Obama et al. to provoke some of the surrounding Arab countries in this region to distance themselves from ISIS, or more likely, to view them as a threat and either stay out of America's way when we move in on them, or perhaps even lend their support to our actions. Third, it might, however, tend toward giving formal recognition to this region as having some kind of formal standing, and in that way, this could backfire on Obama, as do so many of his clever ploys. Anyway, the more technically correct term would be ISIS, ISIL being the politically correct term. Now, let's go forward with Obama's speech. He said, quote, "First, I said in June, as the terrorist group ISIL began an advance across Iraq," end quote. Whoa, what's this? Obama using the T word? I guess he concedes it's a useful term when you want to justify employing military intervention. That's what dropping bombs on ISIS targets in Iraq means, you know. That's using military might. That's military intervention. Forget about his effort to dance around this by saying, well, we're not going to engage them militarily with boots on the ground, and it's not going to be a war effort, you see. Listen, you're dropping bombs on military targets in Iraq, and the only way Democrats know how to wage war is to make it a political game, using the lives and resources of our soldiers to serve their political maneuvers and manipulations. I said years ago that unless we get in, get it done, and get out of there, that a Democrat would come along, come behind it, and nom it. You might remember that show some years ago. That's what you're watching happen right now. Yeah. I don't object to Obama sending the bombs into Iraq. I do object to his nomming Iraq. Anyway, Obama has found a use for the T word, terrorist. How about that? And he goes on, quote, "In recent days, these terrorists have continued to move across Iraq and have neared the city of Erbil, where American diplomats and civilians serve at our consulate, and American military personnel advise Iraqi forces," end quote. Hold it right here. So, now you're interested in doing something when terrorists approach our consulate? What about Benghazi? You saw no value in sending help to our ambassador who was calling for help when terrorists were attacking the consulate in Libya? Hey, Obama, did you want Stevens dead for some reason that we haven't uncovered yet? What's this about? I don't get it. You went to bed to get your beauty sleep before a fundraiser in Vegas gig, eh? When you heard about Benghazi consulate being attacked by terrorists, you made up a story about it being over a ridiculous movie blaspheming Muhammad and his god Allah. The curse, by the way, the word Allah in Hebrew means curse. Interesting, huh? And even more intriguing is that you find that word in Daniel 9:11, Twilight Zone music. Anyway, we go on with Obama's statement here, quote, "To stop the advance in Erbil, I've directed our military to take targeted strikes against ISIL terrorist convoys should they move toward the city. We intend to stay vigilant and take action if these terrorist forces threaten our personnel or facilities anywhere in Iraq, including our consulate in Benghazi, Erbil, and our embassy in Baghdad." He goes on. Second, here it is. "As ISIL has marched across Iraq, it has waged a ruthless campaign against innocent Iraqis, and these terrorists have been especially barbaric towards religious minorities, including Christian and Yazidis," end quote. Oh, really? No kidding. He just recently come to understand that Christians were being killed, and that became of concern to him only when the Yazidis were being included in that? Look, they've been waging particularly brutal attacks against Christians all along. You've not even bothered to comment on it. One thing this president has been good about doing is giving them a talking to. You know, remember last show? I mean, when this president cares about something, be it Trayvon or Israel doing something egregious, like protecting themselves from the relentless attacks of his buddies, Hamas, you know, Pelosi's humanitarian organization? These people are idiots. Obama speaks out all the time on things he cares about. The homosexual agenda issues, his objections to DOMA, all this stuff. I mean, you name it. If Obama cares about it, even if he can't do something about it, he'll at least make some kind of public remark about it. Mr. President alleged, you have not even bothered to say one word of rebuke against ISIS about the brutal murder of Christians that has been going on, and now, suddenly, you've got something to say? Now watch this, folks. And look into the heart of this hateful man. He has to at least mention Christians in this statement, or he would really be in deep bear scat. So he simply acknowledges that Christians have been the targets of ISIS and practically virtually dismisses it. And then he goes on and on and on and on and on about the plight of the Yazidis. Yeah. He goes on. Look, quote, Yazidis, a small and ancient religious sect. Countless Iraqis have been displaced, and chilling reports describe ISIL militants rounding up families, conducting mass executions, and enslaving Yazidi women. What about the enslavement of Christian women? What about the murder of Christian women? And he goes on and on and on about the Yazidi persecution. He does not offer one single example of Christians being murdered, brutally tortured by these horrible people. But he gives examples after another of how the Yazidis have been tortured. Quote, in recent days, Yazidi women, men, and children from the area of Sinjar have fled for their lives. And thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, are now hiding high up in the mountain with little but the clothes on their backs. They're without food. They're without water. People are starving, end quote. Can you believe this man? Not one word, not one example of what's been happening to the Christians over there. Anyone responding, by the way, to the point I'm trying to make with this, by suggesting that this indicates I don't care about the Yazidis. Yeah. I don't know what to say to you. Switch the channel. Never listen to another show presented by the Brainmasseur. I mean, there is a minimum level of intelligence necessary to receive the benefit of a brain massage after all. And more importantly, there is a basic requirement of honesty. One thing you've got to be to benefit from a brain massage, whether you agree with me or not, by the way, isn't the issue. But you've got to listen honestly. Of course I care about the Yazidi. It's horrible what has happened to these people, and I'm proud our country is responding to their plight. I just find it very interesting, you know, that Christians have been the targets of brutal terrorist torture, murder, and mayhem right along. And Obama has said nothing. Now, he must step forward and do something. And what does he do? He practically dismisses the Christians as a, oh yeah, those two. But goes on and on and on about the Yazidis. His love for most things Muslim and his despite and hatred for all things Christian and Jewish comes through loud and clear to all who have ears to hear. Now, I've run over my time for this segment. I'll have to abbreviate, but hey, it really only gets worse. Get a load of this next amazingly insensitive, foolish. I don't even have words for that. You know, folks, I am really tired today. I've been in Canada for a whirlwind, strenuous trip. Ride back home, worn from travel. Got very little rest, and I had to run off again the very next day and drive down south to preach down there. I got home about 2 a.m., and then up at 7, got to finish the show and head off to another preaching assignment down here at the lake for our family camp. So I'm firing at about 12 of my usual 16 cylinders today, har har. But this next statement from Obama almost caused me to lose my sanctification, God help me. Meanwhile, ISIL forces below have called for the systematic destruction of the entire Yazidi people, which would constitute genocide, end quote. You have got to be kidding me. How dare this man make such a statement? Can he be so obtuse, so dull, so hardened in his wicked heart against Israel that he would dare talk about ISIS making statements like this against the Yazidis with all kinds of sympathy and concern when they have... And all the Arabs generally throughout the Arab world have made outlandish statements like this about Israel over and over and over. For shame, Mr. President, for failing to mention that. Shame on you. Drop that arrogant, lifted chin in shame and reproach for your wicked heart. How dare you? Israel has lived under this kind of reproach for years, daily enduring the attacks of their enemies who have declared their intention to commit genocide against them over and over again. And yet you chide Israel for defending herself and then make a statement like this about the Yazidi people. And more of this bile spews from this man. Do you have understanding, by the way, of what I'm doing here? Do you understand the point I'm making? Of course, these declarations of intention to wipe out the Yazidis is horrifying and evil and must be answered. And I agree that the Yazidis must be delivered from this. What I want to know is exactly what is it about the Jews that causes this fella to not care about them? You know, it's wrong for the ISIS people to say this about the Yazidis, but it's okay to say it about the Jews? What's wrong with the Jewish people who support this man? Are you out of your mind? He goes on and on. I can't take a break here. I'm going to have to roll on through break. I guess. Anyway, this is just too deeply disturbing. He goes on, quote, I've said before, the United States cannot and should not intervene every time there's a crisis in the world. So let me be clear about why we must act and act now. Now, listen to this. He says, quote, "When we face a situation like we do on that mountain, with innocent people facing the prospect of violence on a horrific scale, when we have a mandate to help, in this case a request from the Iraqi government, and when we have the unique capabilities to help avert a massacre, then I believe the United States of America cannot turn a blind eye. We can act carefully and responsibly to prevent a potential act of genocide. That's what we're doing on that mountain," end quote. Really? Well, you know, I guess, Obama, that just depends on whether or not they're Jews or Christians, doesn't it? You know, because then America can turn a blind eye. And I send this rebuke out to all of you in the mainstream media as well, who have ignored what's been going on against Christians throughout the world, from fascist, Islamist, jihadist-headed Muslims all over the world. You know, when it's a Christian or a Jew, yeah, you can turn a blind eye. In fact, when it comes to the Jews, you can side with those who want to commit genocide against them. Obama said, furthermore, quote, "Earlier this week, one Iraqi in the area cried to the world, there's no one coming to help. Well, today, America is coming to help. We're also consulting with other countries and the United Nations who have called for action to address this humanitarian crisis." Humanitarian crisis. "But Hamas raining missiles by the hundreds into Israel cities, that's not a humanitarian crisis. Is that because Christians and Jews are not to be considered human? Are they rats, as some in your Muslim faith believe? Just what is a Jew to you, Mr. Obama?" Now, I need to take a short break at least and catch my own breath here. So I'll cut to his concluding remarks. Quote, "So let me close by assuring you that there is no decision that I take more seriously than the use of military force," end quote. Yeah, no doubt you thought long and hard about Libya, and then, but you didn't give a moment's thought over Benghazi. Quote, "Over the last several years, we have brought the vast majority of our troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan, and I've been careful to resist calls to turn time and again to our military because America has other tools in our arsenal than our military. We can also lead with power of our diplomacy, our economy, and our ideals. But when the lives of American citizens are at risk, we will take action," end quote. Oh, really? Give me a barf bag. You've got to be kidding me. Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Ambassador Christopher Stevens, three other brave Americans. They didn't matter to you at all. Not even enough to disturb your fundraising schedule or interfere with your sleep. And then we always get this from Obama when he starts dropping in the polls. We get a little God nod. He ends it with "God bless our armed forces and God bless the United States of America," end quote. Where's my barf bag? I'll be right back.
King David wanted to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. God's prophet encouraged him and told him it was God's will. For this very special project, David commissioned the building of a brand new cart to carry the precious Ark of God. As they rolled down the road, they hit a bump. To keep the ark from falling off the cart, the driver reached out and touched it. This brought death to the driver. David became afraid of the Lord. He sent the ark away and he went home troubled. Later, David understood from the scripture that the only proper way to transport the ark was for the priests to carry it. He decided to try it again, and this time he did it according to God's instructions. And everything worked out beautifully. David was a good man with good motives, but his plan was flawed. Many good men with good motives are attempting to do a good work, but they're doing it the wrong way, and it has brought spiritual death to our churches. Are you in a new cart church? Come to an Old Path church this Sunday. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I really wanted to jump on this Black Jesus thing. Have you seen that or heard about it? Talk about blasphemy, racist bigotry. I mean, every black family in America ought to be outraged by this. And every Christian. I mean, it really should insult you. Where's Jesse Jackson with one of his unintelligible rants over this one? Unreal. But perhaps I'll get a chance to address that next week. And then this new study showing the brain damage caused by the use of pornography. Very interesting. Today, however, I need to close, and I'll close with a brief look at this from our friend, that is, friend of the cause, since I've never met him, although I'm thinking more and more that I need to arrange a meeting with his like-minded brother. And I'm talking about Chuck Baldwin and this article I received from one of our newer brain massage regulars, headed, quote, New Research, Pastors Deliberately Keeping Flock in the Dark, by Chuck Baldwin, August 7, 2014, end quote. I'm sure you can Google that and get the full article. It references a study put together by George Barna. Now, George Barna is the foremost researcher of modern Christianity in the country. And over the last 2 years, he's been compiling research information on whether pastors are addressing social political issues from a biblical point of view to their congregations. Quoting Barna, quote, "What we're finding is that when we ask them about all the key issues of the day, 90% of them are telling us, yes, the Bible speaks to every one of these issues. Then we ask them, well, are you teaching your people what the Bible says about those issues? Well, then the numbers drop to less than 10% of pastors who say they will speak to it. When researchers ask those pastors what else they are willing to do to get their people active in the political process, Barna said, it's almost nothing. So the thing that struck me, said Barna, quote, has been that when we talk about the separation of church and state, it's that churches have separated themselves from the activities of the state, and that's to the detriment of the state and its people, end quote. Now, I agree with Baldwin completely when he says, quote, it would have been one thing if the pastors had said that these political issues were not relevant to Scripture, and therefore, they didn't feel called to address them. But the pastors are admitting that, yes, they know that the Scriptures do relate to our current political issues, but they are deliberately choosing to not teach those scriptural principles. Holy heads in the sand, Batman. Thank you, Baldwin. He goes on to say, quote, I confess, this statistic caught me off guard. So we can forever dismiss ignorance as justification for pastors remaining silent. And then he goes on, quote, now all the church members out there who have been forgiving their ministers for not speaking out on the issues by saying things like, he really doesn't understand what's going on, need to reevaluate their leniency. If they are intellectually honest, that is, and if they truly care about the future of their country. Church member, admit it. And I'm continuing to quote Baldwin here. That pastor of yours who refuses to speak out on the issues knows the Bible speaks to these issues, and he is deliberately refusing to teach those biblical principles to you and your family. So we're not dealing with ignorant pastors. We are dealing with deliberately disobedient pastors. They are purposely choosing to remain silent. Will that make any difference to the Christians in the pews who say they want their pastor to take a stand but are willing to overlook his ignorance? Probably not. But at least we know now what the real issue is, don't we? End quote. Wow, Brother Baldwin sounds like the brain masseur. All right, folks, I need to wrap up another great show. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And you say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, and you say lights off if you disagree. And you're welcome to throw down a good chunk of your mind for me to chew on, since I've certainly given you a piece of mine. Again, the number to call is 1-888-770-8000. But if you're outside the country or prefer it, you may email me by going to our website. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. And you'll see on the right side, you don't have to click on a contact us button anymore. You just look right there on the right side. You'll see the place there to put in your information and send me an email message. I read all of my email correspondence and respond as promptly as I am able. Do be patient with me. I travel quite a bit. If you're in a hurry, you can give me a lights on or a lights off and then hang up. If you will, however, please leave me a message. I'd love to hear from my audience. I appreciate hearing feedback on what you think about The Brain Massage Show. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.